Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
All right, there you are. Hey there. So I wanted to talk about annuities, and here's why. Just like that high corn fructose sugar cereals that kids eat in the morning, high fructose corn syrup. Okay, I got it right. Lisa corrected me. I got it all mangled up. Anyway, I was trying to use an analogy that just like that cereal is part of a balanced breakfast, you know, when they show the commercial now, you'll see they're kind of putting that on the table. Well, an annuity might be appropriate as part of a balanced portfolio. I'm sorry, that was very heavy duty and a lot of work. Okay, so here's what I want to talk about with annuities. They can be part of an overall plan for retirement. They're not for everybody. There are a lot of different types. And so I've had a lot of questions over the years. And I have worked with annuities as part of a plan, a part of a balanced diet for my clients for their retirements for, golly, I don't know, since 98? So what is that, 15 years at the time of this show? So I'm pretty familiar with all the different types of annuities. And I can tell you that there's some that I really like, some that I don't like. There's some that I think can be very good and some that are not so good. And there are companies that I think are good and some that I don't think are so good. So I want to kind of ease into this conversation with you about annuities because I see misinformation out there in the marketplace. There are what I would call the very biased folks out there. You know, for example, if a magazine, if you read, happen to read one particular magazine and you read that magazine, you'd never see a positive article or column written about annuities of any kind in that magazine. Why? Well, it's simply because that magazine caters and all of its advertisers are no-load mutual funds. So no-load mutual funds compete with annuities. So there's a lot of information out there. Some of it's right, some of it's wrong. So I'd like to kind of debunk some of this for you because I do get a lot of questions. First, let me tell you, they're not for everybody. And I have plenty of clients that they don't do annuities, they don't have annuities, some that do. So again, it's always like a lot of things I talk about on this program, it just depends on your situation, whether an annuity is right for you or not. Now, let's talk through some of the basics. An annuity is an insurance contract offered by an insurance company. It's non-negotiable. So they'll say, the insurance company says, hey, look, here's what we offer. You either get it or you don't. It's not something like you say, well, I like it, but tweak these things. And because of that, it's a good thing that there are hundreds of choices because if you don't like the particular product offering that a company has, you can look at somebody else's. The insurance company's not going to change it just for you. Now, if you have half a billion dollars, maybe they will. But I mean, for us regular people, they're going to say, here it is, take it or leave it. So you have to look at what's available. And that's, of course, where the advisor comes in. You have to be a licensed insurance agent to make recommendations for an annuity or to offer them to a client. And there are some people that do not recommend them. And of course, they don't have the license to recommend them. So chicken or the egg there, right? I mean, they maybe don't recommend them because they can't recommend them. So let's talk about some of the basics. There are two major types of annuities. And this is where some of the confusion comes in is people think there's just one type, like it's one type of investment. There's lots of different kinds, but all annuities can be broken down into either an immediate annuity or a deferred annuity. And the words mean things. That's their label, but that's also what they are. An immediate annuity is a contract between an individual and an insurance company where you give the insurance company money and they start paying you immediately. So that's where the name comes from, immediate annuity. So let's just say, I have an example here. I'll walk you through. Let's see if I can find it here. Here we go. So let's say we've got a single woman. She's in her mid-70s. She wants $1,000 per month for the rest of her life. She has no beneficiaries or is not that concerned about leaving any assets to anyone. And so that's her scenario. So to get her desired level of income, that $1,000 a month, she'd need to put about $150,000 into an immediate annuity. That would give her the $1,000 a month for the rest of her life. And then when she dies, there'd be nothing left over. An immediate annuity, unless you add on a feature that provides something for your beneficiary, in its most simple form, an immediate annuity is like a pension. Sometimes people call it do-it-yourself pension. But immediate annuity, you put the money in, and then the insurance company is taking the risk that you're going to live a long time. They're betting you might not, and they do this all the time. And so some people live longer than expected. Some people don't live as long as expected. So it kind of averages out. And insurance companies always make money on the spread, kind of what the average outcome is going to be. So for every person that dies too late, somebody dies too soon. That's what actuaries spend their whole day doing, figuring that stuff out. So an immediate annuity might be appropriate where somebody strictly wants a source of income and are not that concerned about leaving money. Now, they can be a single life, they can be joint lifetime, and there's two ways to kind of get to the number. You can either say, how much money do I need to give the insurance company to get my $1,000 a month? Or I've got a lump sum of 50 or 100 or 150 or whatever the dollar amount is. How much income can I generate for that amount of money? So you can solve it from two different angles. Now, that's an immediate annuity in its most simple form. You can add on options that say, I want a joint lifetime for me and for my spouse. I want it to have at least a guaranteed minimum number of years. Just in case I die early, if I die, I want the annuity to continue on for 5, 10, 15, 20-year period for my beneficiaries. So if I die, my wife dies, then the kids get this for at least 10 years. So if I buy the annuity, I live 10 years, and then I die, there's nothing left for them. But I've been receiving payments for 10 years. So it's like a backup guarantee. Now, nothing's free, so if you do take that option of a guaranteed period, it's going to pay less than if you just took the straight life annuity where it's just for your lifetime. So that's an immediate annuity. A lot of companies offer that option. And so if you're looking for something like that, you ask an independent insurance agent to run you those numbers to look for companies that may be able to help you. And if you are looking for that, there are a lot of good quality companies that you can work with. Now, the second type of annuity is the deferred annuity. A deferred annuity is, well, it's deferred. You're not taking an immediate payment, although, not to confuse things, some deferred annuities do let you start pretty quick. Now, a deferred annuity, you are putting your money with the company for it to accumulate until you're ready to start drawing an income from it. Now, some people never draw an income from a deferred annuity. They just kind of use it as an accumulation vehicle or to pass money on to their beneficiaries. Deferred annuities come in different flavors. There is what's called a variable annuity. That's a security. It is in money that is invested inside of the annuity. So it's like a mutual fund, but they're technically called sub-accounts inside the annuity, and it could be invested in all kinds of mutual fund-like investments, and it can grow, or of course, it can also lose value because it's invested in the market. It's both an insurance product and a security product. You also have what are called fixed or traditional fixed annuities. They earn a fixed rate of interest. That could be a guaranteed rate for a set number of years, or it could be a rate that can fluctuate, or it changes year to year based on the insurance company, or it could be locked in for a certain number of years, and then after that, it fluctuates. Traditional fixed annuity, fixed interest rate annuity, multi-year guaranteed rate annuity, those are all the same thing, the traditional fixed annuity. And then there's also what's called the index annuity. It's a fixed annuity where the interest is tied to a stock market index. The last two are both, they're both fixed annuities. The traditional and the index are both fixed annuities. Their principal is protected. The money is not put at risk like the variable annuity. And that's where some of the confusion comes. So which one makes sense for each situation? Again, it depends. The variable annuity does offer more upside potential because your money is actually invested in the market. I will say that you have to watch the fees because some variable annuities can get rather expensive, especially if you add on extra features that some of the insurance companies make available on the variable annuity. It's kind of like saying, I want the leather seats, I want the chrome wheels when you buy the car. You can add those extra options and they will cost. I've seen some people pay as much as 4 or 5% a year with a variable annuity. Now, the concern I have is that people don't know. So if you have a variable annuity, you need to know what you're paying because it could be a lot more than you think it is or a lot more than you would expect it to be. The variable annuity does, though, have the higher potential return. You just have to accept the fact that you're taking some risk with it. The others, you're not going to make as much money as you would with the variable if the market's going up strongly, but they don't go down in value because of the market. So all the gains, all the losses with the variable, or some of the gains and none of the losses with the index, or just a straight up fixed rate with a fixed annuity. The key thing is to have somebody guide you on the different annuities that might make sense for your situation. Okay? That's just a quick rundown on annuities. We'll talk more about these on a future show. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with more good quality show for you. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have another special guest, and I know that I sometimes say that. Well, I say that a lot, but they're all special because we handpick them, and we find really cool and interesting people to be on the program with you. And so I will not disappoint today, I promise. Jan Cullinane is my guest today, and the website for the program is going to be Jan's name. So here we are, Jan, and it's C-U-L-L-I-N-A-N-E. Cullinane, jancullinane.com, and her book, which is really interesting, The Single Woman's Guide to Retirement. Jan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. Delighted to be here.
It's my pleasure, and I love your perspective. We were chatting before we started the program, ladies and gentlemen. I'll fess up, and I confess to Jan that I really am fascinated by her area of work. A little bit of background on Jan. Let's get this bio out on the table. Let's see here. We've got a bachelor's and a master's from University of Maryland.
Correct.
Now, you have to tell me, and I don't know, I don't know this, and I hope I'm not embarrassed that I don't, after you tell me what it is. What is an ABD?
Oh, ABD stands for all but dissertation. I did all my work for my doctorate except the dissertation because I moved prior to completing it.
Okay, so in other words, you doggone it, you deserve credit for all that work. Okay, that's good. All right. And so Jan is a best-selling author. She's been featured on TV, radio, many newspaper and magazines, done a lot of consulting work. I think that's very interesting. That includes some pretty big names here, Jan, Ford Motor Company, Deloitte & Touche, the federal government, and the Smithsonian Institute, as well as Wells Fargo Advisors.
That's right.
Cool. All right. So one of the big topics in the world of finance and this kind of merging with psychology is this growing field of behavioral economics. So for our listeners who run the gamut of all sorts of folks out there, what is behavioral economics and how does it relate to how people maybe need to be doing what they're doing with their money?
It's a great question, David. And I always like to say that the way we think and the way we really think are two different things. And behavioral economics kind of melds pure economics, which says that we're very rational beings. We can weigh all the pros and cons and make decisions, whether they're related to retirement or whatever, pick out the best choice and go with it. Whereas psychology and all of the studies that have gone along with that have found that, nope, we're really a lot more like Homer Simpson than we are like Mr. Spock. We really tend to think more with our gut, and as a result, we sometimes end up getting in trouble with our decision making. So by thinking about behavioral economics, and by the way, in 2002, a Nobel Prize was awarded for Daniel Kahneman's work in this area, we really can improve our decision making, whether it applies to retirement or any other field.
Very good. So it's I'll put it maybe in another way. The way I would think about it is we do what we want, especially when it comes to our money, and then we find all the logical reasons to support that.
That's a good way of putting it. You know, there are a lot of terms, behavioral economic terms, and I have to say I'm guilty of most of them.
Yeah.
But now that I recognize them and I can see them in action, I actually become, I think, a better decision maker by getting into this whole field.
Well, and I know your area of expertise is vast and deep. I would love to touch on your book, because you have taken a special interest in writing your book, The Single Woman's Guide to Retirement, to speaking to women. And I speak to a lot of women. I told Jan that I do a lot of work with women and couples, and I enjoy that, and I am pleased to do that. So let's speak to it from the women's perspective. Is it different? I know some of the answers to these questions, but I'm going to pose them to you anyway. Is it different, especially for single women? Let's talk about that.
Well, when you're talking about behavioral economics, no, actually.
All the studies have shown
there is no difference. And let me tell you, I've consulted the gurus, and they've been very good about doing that, because I thought at first, would there be a big difference? Now, of course, we know there are differences with women compared to men when it comes to investing, when it comes to how much they make and all of that. But as far as behavioral economics, no. Evidence shows that we approach things the same way.
Well, I like that, and there are differences in how people approach things, but when it comes to from the behavioral economic standpoint, it's similar. I love that. Again, speaking to women, one of the reasons why I understand, I read through a lot of the kind of information talking about your book, one of the reasons why you wrote about that was you're really trying to take the guesswork out of a retirement for women, especially for single women.
Well, I absolutely am, and you know, when you think about it and realize that there are 25 million women over the age of 45 in the United States who are single, and by single I mean either never married or divorced or widowed. We're talking about a big demographic there, and of course that number is growing. And I also say, even if you're happily married now, there's still an 80 to 90% chance that you will be single someday. So other people have said, you know, even though this book says it's for single women, it's really for all women, because of course most of us are going to be in that category, whether we are or not right now.
That's a very good observation, Jan. They are not single for a period of time, and you're right, there's a real good chance. And I do a lot of work with retirees, and so I do see a lot of those situations play out, and working with a widow after she's lost her husband, and there they are. They are single again, so to speak.
Yes, they are. And some of these terms, so for example, let's say you have become widowed and you want to move and you recognize perhaps your house doesn't fit you anymore. You're getting older.
Right.
Maybe you have, you know, your laundry room is on the bottom floor or whatever. But yet there's a term, for example, called an anchor, which says that we will compare with a reference point. So maybe at one time our house was worth $100,000 more than it is now. And even though we know it's a good decision, we can't bring ourselves to do it because that anchor is in our mind, whether we're a man or a woman trying to move. So that's one of these kind of predictably irrational behaviors they talk about when we think, because we won't make a decision, which of course is really making a decision, even if you don't make a decision, to do something that's because that is for our good, because of this idea of an anchor.
So that's what you're getting at with this, the behavioral economic focus, is that it's really, we've got to recognize these things so we can make better decisions.
Absolutely. And another one is an example, it's called hyper choice or analysis paralysis. You know, if you want to go paint something, you've seen those paint things with thousands and thousands of choices there. It can be overwhelming. And so if we can narrow our choices down, whether it's looking at investments, whether it's looking to move or whatever, the research has shown we're happier and we have less regret and we're better decision makers if we can narrow our choices down to just a few, rather than saying it's so overwhelming, I'm going to do nothing.
Well, and I know that there are a lot of different situations that play out for people. One of the things I like about your book, Jan, is that you use a lot of anecdotes, real life stories to talk about situations that women go through and what they've dealt with. And I think that's helpful for people because, you know, a lot of these concepts can be, of course, can be rather abstract. And some of the terms, as you very well know, can be, you know, kind of foreign to people. And so I applaud that. I think that's great that you did that, because so many people just say, and I see this, you know, they just don't know what to do. You know, I'm so glad that you stopped in your busy life, and everybody's busy, to stop and sit down and talk with me, talk with a planner about what you're trying to do, because people just don't know.
You're very correct about that. There are a lot of choices. I like the idea of anecdotes. I don't think one person can represent any large group when we're talking about 25 million.
That's a lot
so
of
the
people.
Fact that people talked about whether it was their divorce, whether it was death of a spouse, whether it was relocation, whether it was handling money, hopefully people can relate to some of those. And to be honest, I've got a science background, so I tend to like facts and statistics, and there are a lot of those in the book too, but I think everyone has a different learning style, and so approaching it from a variety of ways is generally the best way to go.
Well, I like that, Jan, and I applaud what you're doing, and we're going to have you come back for another show, because believe it or not, you and I have run through the full 10 minutes we agreed on. Jan Cullinane is our guest today. Her book is The Single Woman's Guide to Retirement. And the website, again, to go and take a look at all of what Jan is up to, as well as to get your copy of the book, jancullinane.com, Jan, and then Cullinane is CullinaneE.com, jancullinane.com. Jan, you're good. I'll have you back.
I'd love to be back, David. Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for being on the program.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.